Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Working Group call on the 1st of June, 2016, 2200 UTC. In the interest of time today, there will be no roll call, as we have quite a few participants. Attendance will be taken via the Adobe Connect room, so if you're only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourselves be known now?
Okay. Sounds like no one's on the audio bridge.
Yes. Thank you. And I'd like to remind you all, please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes and keep phones and microphones on mute when not speaking. I'd like to turn the call to Jeff Newman.
Thank you. This is Jeff Newman. Apparently, not everyone appreciates my humor on the chat. But anyway, welcome to the call. It is June 1st, so welcome to a new month, and I look forward to seeing a lot of you in just a few weeks in person. In the meantime, you see the agenda on the right-hand side of the screen if you're on Adobe, to which we will be the meat of the or the substance of the meeting will be to discuss the community. I forgot what CC stands for now. Why am I blanking here? But basically the outreach document that we're going to be sending out for constituency comment or community comment. There you go. So we'll spend most of our time on that. We do have one item so far of any other business, which is to just confirm the initial work plan that we have. And if anyone's got any items for additional or any other business, I'll take that now. Any other business that anyone can think of at this point in time? Okay, hearing none, we'll also do another call for any other business when that agenda item comes up. So if you think of something between now and then, we can add it to the agenda. First I want to just see if anyone has any updates to their statements of interest that they would like to discuss or to reveal at this point in time. Seeing no hands raised and hearing no voices, I will assume that all statements of interest are up to date. The next we have, as you see up on the screen right now, a review of the action items. So they are pretty much the same as last week. Steve Chan, are there any updates to the action items that from last week?
Thanks, Jeff. This is Steve Chan from staff. As you said, there hasn't been much to change. We're in the midst of working on CC1. The biggest change that will likely come as a result of this call is that the work plan will be considered adopted, at least for the time being, until further detail is discovered, I guess, by this working group and put into the work plan itself. So as you said, I don't think anything much has changed. We're still working on getting a liaison for the RPMs working group. As I said, the CC1 is the bulk of what we're working on right now. I think it was item 24. It was regarding collecting data on applicants for the 2012 round. So some sources have been produced and provided for consideration, but I think perhaps we'll get into the details of whether or not those are helpful or sufficient once we get back into the more detailed discussions about the topics. And I believe that one was in regards to the potential limitations on applications either from a single applicant or as well as applications in total for the round or other mechanism. So I think that's it, and I'll hand it back over to you, Jeff. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Steve, and this is Jeff Newman again. You're correct. That question on or those stats are related to the question on application limits to help us analyze if there were any issues. Obviously, all these subjects are going to go out in the constituency comment, and once we receive the input back, we'll come back and revisit all of these questions again. So hopefully by that point, we will have all the data we need to analyze along with the any comments received to those questions. With that, I'm going to go on to the next subject, which is a the main part of the meeting, which is discussion on the community comment. Number one, Avery has done the bulk of the work at this point, so kudos to Avery for getting a great start, and Steve Chan also as well. So I will turn it over to Avery.
Thank you. Avery speaking. Hopefully I can be heard. And while there may have been a time when it was true that I did the bulk of the work, I think during the last week, you, Jeff, and several other people on the drafting team, or just people that came to the document, did a whole lot of work, and all I really did was accept changes in and crank out the PDF that I sent you all. So basically, many edits were made, some of them substantive, some of them just grammar and spelling and such. And where we're at now and where I see the status is, wanted to take a walk through this just to make sure that people were fine with the document in terms of the way it's written now. We need to get it released by next week if we want to make all the time schedules for having documents released before Helsinki. We would want to start the full... Yes.
Aubrey, this is Jeff. Is there a way you can either come closer to your mic or it just sounds pretty, it sounds a little faint and muffled.
Faint and muffled. Oh, okay. Well, I can certainly raise the volume of it. Give me a second.
Thank you.
Yep. 1 second. Levels. Thanks for that. Is that any better?
Yes.
Hopefully that's better. And I apologize for if I don't have lots of energy. I had a meeting until 4 o'clock this morning and did not quite catch up on sleep. But in any case, so where we're at the moment is we need to finish this. If we're going to get it out, what I'd like to do today is walk through the document, make sure that there are no problem areas still. There are some comments that people put in the margins. I want to make sure that those have been dealt with. If not, I want to deal with them. Hopefully, we can finish the discussions during this meeting. If not, we'll have to take them to the list. But again, saying we have very little time. After this meeting, my suggestion, and we had a discussion in the leadership group, that Steve Chan will take over on the pen, basically finishing it up and polishing it and bringing it together so that it's ready for proper release into the ICANN document system and this whole process there, and getting the comment period started. So don't know if there are any issues on the process as I've just spoken of it. Stop for a second to see if there are any hands. I see no any hands. I hear no shouts. Okay, moving on. So one of the things we had here was a comment still pending from me is, does the constituency comment go out as a letter? I think the answer is no, it doesn't. There's a cover letter, and then there's a document. So this letter will need to be tweaked to be appropriate as a cover letter, but I don't think that's a substantive issue. Carlos did ask, are we going to personalize the request to each SOAC chair as suggested during today's call? My assumption was yes. Steve, I would ask you, does that seem reasonable? I mean, what you normally do. I see your hand up. Sorry, I should have seen your hand up and called on you instead of just asking you a question.
Sure. Thanks, Aubrey. This is Steve Chan from staff, and I'll cover two things. One is just to answer your question. The documents can be customized to the SO, AC, or SG or C. So in theory, it can be customized, although I haven't heard any particular or specific request to make them, I guess, specific to the particular organization. So while we can, I haven't heard any actual concrete suggestions to do so. The why I actually raised my hand was just to...
Steve, if I can interrupt for a second. I think we were just talking about the cover letter, not the whole document.
Sure. So we can do whatever the group wants, whether or not we want to have it as a cover letter with an appendix, or if we want to have it as a continuous letter. It's really up to the group, I think, whatever the group thinks is preferable in terms of its how clean it is and how easy it is to read and to take in.
Thanks.
So, sorry, Aubrey, this is Steve again. If you're looking for an opinion, I think maybe it is cleaner to do to position as a cover letter with the questions actually as an annex.
Okay. Does anyone in the group object to handling it that way? If not, we can call that one decided and move on to Steve's next point. I see no hands. I hear no calls. So, okay, so let's call that. It'll be, as you say, a letter with an annex. Okay, Steve, you still have your hands. The point you actually raised it for, please.
Thanks, Aubrey. This is Steve Chan again from staff. So what I wanted to do is just provide a little more detail around the steps after this meeting. So the thought is that staff would collect the inputs from both the comments collected on the Google document as well as from this meeting itself and produce a sort of final document that would be distributed to the working group. And I think the thought is that we would leave that open for suggestions and comments and up until and perhaps through the meeting on the 6th of June. After which we'd call it final and then make final arrangements to distribute the letters to all the organizations. So my thought is that we'll make the final edits as opposed to a Google document. It'll actually be a Word document that will be shared with the group and also provided on the wiki. And I think that's all I had to say about that. So just want to add a little bit of clarity on the process and welcome any comments to that process. Thanks.
Thank you, and thank you for correcting me on the dates. I had squished things that had 2 weeks to get done into 1 week in my mind, and so thank you for correcting me on that without actually saying you were correcting me, which is really quite nice. Any comments on the process as explained by me and as further explained and clarified by Steve? Anyone object to following that process? Okay, seeing no objections, moving on. Okay, and we did already take the first two comments here, the one I had, and also Carlos's. So I'm assuming, Carlos, that answer is satisfactory. If not, let me see your hand. Okay, any other issue on that topic? Okay, then the next comment also from Carlos was, is this a gentle reminder? Did the request have a deadline? And this was referring to the request for the history of previous letters and consensus advice, et cetera, to the board. And is this initial one also a constituency request? If all questions are negative, I would suggest not to start this letter with this sentence, but move it somewhere down the letter. I see no issue with doing that. I don't know if you're comfortable with that, Steve, just sort of sitting in your recasting of this in response to comments. Okay. Hopefully the silence. Okay, there, a no problem. Thank you, Steve. The next comment further down is called constituency request. Maybe we should agree on one single definition of the exercise. This indeed is a constituency comment, and we're making a request. So it's a request for constituency comment. I think it's fine to pick one wording. I expect that there is one official wording in the guidebook for PDP working groups, and we just need to look it up and find it and use that one consistently. Any issue with that as a response to that comment? Okay, we have comments in Ruben's. Considering the CC1 documents gets out June 10th, what would be the deadline for responses? Well, I think that the issue is that the paper as revised, or the constituency request as revised from Steve would come out sometime this week, and hopefully the meeting on June 6th would essentially be the close, unless there's a pending issue that we need to deal with that we can't close on the 6th, at which point we would have to do a 24 or at maximum 48-hour last call would be my first guess at the process. Oh, did you mean how long was the comment period open for? In which case, Steve did end at 35 days are allotted in the PDP manual. But we may want to consider is there's often comment periods that cut across a face-to-face meeting are actually extended by either the length of that meeting or twice the length of that meeting to deal with the fact that many people are traveling. So we could certainly make that an open question and ask that on June 6th, and see how different people feel about 35 days or perhaps 45 days to account for the Helsinki meeting in the middle. Okay. Anything further on those issues? Okay, and Carlos added a headline that I never accepted, and I just did. So are there any other issues on this first page that anybody has? I want to deal with the comments, but I also want to give people a chance to look at a page and indicate whether they currently have any issues. Pause for a second to see if there are any other issues with page one before moving to page two. Okay, I see no comments. I'll move to page two. Okay, Carlos added a header, which I've just accepted. Okay. The first comment I had, which was one about referring to separate documents, if it's the first part in a cover letter, we've already discussed that. I expect that Steve can modify this language appropriately, and I'll leave that there. Then Carlos was kind enough to add another headline, three, coordination with other efforts, and thank you, Carlos, for the organizational additions to this. They help. And then we go through and we have the listing of efforts. We had some discussions on that list at the last meeting, and this is where we've got it now. Any other, I get distracted reading the comments in the chat sometimes. Any other comments on page two? Seeing nothing, I'll move on. Page three, we have Jeff has a comment. I would think we want to say at least two. This is the first of at least two. Okay, so I think that change has been made. Yes, I indicate done. And then I guess there was a bracket that Jeff wanted to add and a closed bracket that Jeff wanted to add that I've just accepted. Then there was a message that I put in from Steve, which is 35 days is generally the minimum amount of time. We've already talked about that. And we've left open the option of, do we go with the minimum 35 or do we call it 45 so that we've allowed for extra time given Helsinki? I don't know if anybody has comments on that one now or we can hold that for the 6. Okay. So anybody have any other comments on 3? Okay, I see none. Now we move on to the content. So to start out with the 6 specific issues, question 1. I say there's been quite a bit of wordsmithing in these questions, so we should take a look at each question as we go through. Carlos, though, had a really biased question. Is there a need for policy changes in the applications process for new GTLDs? Narrow remitter approach. Should there, in fact, be additional new GTLDs in the future? I don't know, Carlos, if you want to speak to that or what change has this already sort of been dealt with, or do you still have an open issue that you would like to make, or do you wish to call this resolved, or the floor is yours if you want it? Carlos, it was not an open issue. It can be marked resolved. So I guess Carlos and that. Doesn't look like we have any further explanation to add into this one. No one has suggested any further explanation. So leave that. Okay, question 1 has been reworked. The 2007 consensus policy above expressed the commitment to a continuing mechanism for the introduction of new GTLDs. Are there any facts and or circumstances that have changed such that you believe that this should no longer be the policy? Please explain. This seems to cover well, and many people contributed to this bit of wordsmithing. It seems to me to cover the discussion we have. Are there any issues on it as it now stands? I see no hands. The question about switch burden or that has sort of been overridden by the wordsmithing. So I'll delete the further that. And then Carlos had a comment. I would use the word ongoing as per original documents instead of continuing. So there is that. I don't think I'm doing the echoing, but though I do hear people talking in the background.
So somebody's got their mic on.
Other than me. Okay, but I can't see who it is. But it looks like they've muted. Or rather, it sounds like they're muted. Okay. And note, disclaimer, Carlos didn't mean to be a pain in the neck, but was asked to take a look at the draft letter from the point of view of English as a second language. Carlos normally respects others' track. Oh, that's a silly mistake. Thank you. So does anybody have a preference of using ongoing instead of continuing? I have no reason not to use ongoing instead of continuing. Does anybody object to the substitution? I see no hands. I see no objections. So we can go with ongoing. Hopefully all those that did editing are still happy with the sentence. I'll leave it there, though, without accepting it so that Steve can see that it's there if there's any further discussion that comes up later. Okay. So I'll mark that as resolved. Then with the next question, would the absence of continuing mechanisms be a risk to commission? Carlos' comment, risk to healthy development of the DNS market or something more neutral whose competition verdict is not out yet. Since Carlos did not make this text change in the text, it wasn't just accepted. Does anybody have an issue with it? Yes, Christina.
Hi, thanks. Separate and apart from the point that Carlos raised, I'm not sure that risk to competition is necessarily what we're trying to get information about, because it's and I guess what I'm wondering is whether or not what we're really asking for is, would the absence of a continuing mechanism be anti-competitive or have an anti-competitive effect? Because it's possible to have a scenario in which a particular set of circumstances is not necessarily pro-competitive without it being anti-competitive. So I guess what I'm not entirely clear is what the information is we're trying to get here.
Aubrey, are you still there?
I was speaking with mute on, sorry. Jeff, I see your hand is up. I expect it's in response, so please go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think I'm the one who changed a lot of that language, and I agree with Christina that her formulation was better than it's what I had meant to cover. So I, as the person who changed that language, I actually like her changes. Aubrey, just double-checking that you're there and not on mute.
Oh, but yes, I was on mute again. Thank you. I typed in the change, and Steve edited my spelling mistakes. Is that correct? Is everyone okay with that change? Any objections to it? Okay, seeing no objections. Christina, just reading your note, did you want the compound sentence of anti-competitive or likely to have anti-competitive, or just is it fine as it is?
I think
for you.
It's
okay,
fine. I think it's fine like it is. I don't have a strong preference one way or the other.
Thank you. Okay. So, moving on, if I see no hands on this one, okay. So the next one was also wordsmith. Are continuing mechanisms for the introduction of additional new GTLDs necessary to achieving sufficient diversity in terms of internet names? Please explain. And were there any comments on this? So I had one that said, what does this mean? What does it mean to make a diverse set of names more diverse? And again, there was a Carlos response. Again, the basic assumption is choice and trust. I have no objection to it. I'm comfortable with people having an idea what it means. So I can resolve my question. Does anybody else have a question here? Anybody else have an issue with the wording? No issue with the wording. All that resolved. Okay. Anything that we missed on page 4? No. Moving on to 5. Is it too early in the review cycle of the previous round to determine the full range of benefits of the 2012 round of new GTLDs? That should be a question mark. Should introduce additional new GTLDs and or the timing of continuing mechanisms, should that impact the decision to introduce additional new GTLDs and or the timing of continuing mechanisms for new GTLDs? Does that sit well with everyone? Or does it sound awkward and was it just my reading? Or is that second sentence hard to parse? How did that impact the decision to introduce new GTLDs or the timing of... No, I guess it's okay. Any issues on that one other than my reading style? No? Okay. And moving on, considerations are there before deciding on continuing mechanisms for new GTLDs or to introduce policy changes? There was a certain amount of wordsmithing for that. Are people with that as it stands now? Okay, no comments. And then the ubiquitous, any other issues relating to this overarching theme? So any questions on 5, page 5? And also, I guess we're sort of at an annealing point of fair stability on this first question, moving forward. I see no comments, I see no hands. Okay, moving on to page 6. Question 2. There was a certain amount of wording to the front paragraph. In fact, by and large, I think I'm going to end up removing most of the, or Steve can, is most of those paragraphs started out as verbatim lists from the issues report. All of them have been modified heavily at this point. So the footnote to those have been removed in some places. I see no one has added a further explanation, so that comment can be deleted. Any comments on this first paragraph rewrite? I don't think I'll read it unless somebody specifically requests a hand. Yes, Greg.
Thanks. Greg Shatton, for the record.
Oh, yeah.
Looking at, I think I'm looking at the Google Doc, and this is the sentence that begins the 6 subjects. I think that the grammar falls apart toward the end.
What page are you on, please?
Is this page 2 of 17?
Oh, okay. So you've gone back to page 2. Okay, thank you.
Sorry, I'm kind of multitasking, so I've fallen off the report.
Okay, well, that's okay. Just if somebody does jump back and isn't on the thing, just...
I can just mark my change.
No, fine. We've done it here. Okay, so where was the paragraph?
It's section 2, constituency request, survey on 6 relevant subjects.
Yes, okay.
It's kind of a run-on sentence, but if we're not going to break it up, it should be specific questions on which the PDPWG seeks your input. Not that.
Okay, I see that it is being edited as we speak, so thank you. As I say, there may be some grammatical fixes by Steve and Julie when they take over to make it more readable that we can review next week, but thank you for that.
Okay,
should I go back to page 6 where I was, or did you have another one in this area?
No, please go back to page 6, and apologies for dragging us backwards.
That's okay. We cleaned up something, so I feel good about it. Okay, back to page 6. Okay, page 5. So I was asking basically whether there was anything on the top write-up. I see no comments. I thank you for the delete space. I've deleted the further explanation since no one felt the need for one. So questions. Should subsequent procedures be structured to account for different types of GTLDs? Then there's I see no points on that. Several possible types have been suggested, including, and then it lists the types. There's been some editing within that, great deal. Are there any issues with the enumeration? It starts on page 6 and ends on page 7. The 1, 2, 3, 4. I think 9 bullets, 10 bullets. any comments on those at the moment. Yes, Jeff, someone will need to review for grammar and smoothness of language so that it looks like it's not 15 people writing it, but one. That's a master editor skill, which I'm sure we will see. Okay, anyone have any issue on those bullets? No, okay. Before moving on from page 6, any other issues on 6? Seeing none, move on to 7. So the following questions refer to the list of types. Are types missing from the list? And then the first question, do all types belong in the list? Perhaps it should be, do all the enumerated types belong in the list? Although they're not really enumerated, they're dotted, but anyway. If categories, and this was one, what areas of the application, evaluation, contention resolution, and or contracting processes should the categorization have an impact? Any comments on that one? Seeing none. Okay. This was one that I rewrote just before the meeting because there had been a comment from Jeff that what was there wasn't clear, so I tried to clarify it. Let's see if I succeeded. If different types of DTLB are defined, should all types be offered in each application window? Is it acceptable for an application window to open for only one type of GTLD, for example, a .brands-only application window? And I see hands, Jeff first and then Carlos. Jeff, please.
Yeah, thanks, this is Jeff Newman. From my point of view, that does clarify what I was trying to ask. I would say to open for only one or a limited number of types of TLDs. I know that was not a great wordsmithing there, but
right.
I think you hopefully get what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, I've got that there, but it needs to be fixed. So I will not accept the change, but it's just, we can go back and smooth language. And Carlos, I see your hands went down. Was that also your issue? Only one or a limited subset? Only one type. Oh, no, I don't want to get into wordsmithing on the fly here. Okay. Any other issues on that one? I have a question. Carlos' question was type or categories. We've been using type here. Other people have used categories. Is there an issue for switching from one word to the other? I have a category as a box that contains different types of type, but I may be wrong on that. Is there a preference? Yes, Jeff.
I kind of like using, even though I'm the one who put types, I kind of like categories just because that's a term that I know that the GAC has used often. So if we put it in there, in the language they've been using, I think that might be more easily understandable.
Okay. Is there any objection to making that categorical change throughout this section? In fact, whenever we talk about types, switch it to category. That would be a carefully done global change. So I'll just make a note on that at the top of this section, which was types at the first use. I'll just add a comment. Global change to category. Yeah, right, spelled correctly. Global change to category. Okay. There is no objection to that one going back. So, If different, okay. So that one, any other issues to this overarching theme? Okay, do we have any other questions open or about the content of page 7? Hearing none, I'll move on. Page 8. Again, a little bit of wordsmithing in the original there. Further explanation can come out since none was added. Any questions on the original? Okay, Robin, of course the GAC isn't the only group who can categorize in this process. Thank you. I admit I was the one that was adamantly against categories in 2007, and it's good that we're moving beyond that. Okay, so the question, should we continue to assess applications for new GTLDs in rounds and if not, how could you structure an alternate mechanism for assessing applications while at the same time taking into consideration public comments, objections, evaluations, etc. Are there any issues with that rewrite? I see none. Moving on, we're at the bottom of page 8. Any open comments on page 8? Okay. Page 9, first question. How would the assessment of applicants in a method other than in rounds, we should probably put the rounds in quotes again since we did in the previous one, or drop the quotes from the previous one, whichever, but something for consistency. In a method other than in rounds, impact rights holders, if at all. Any comments on that one? Okay, seeing none. Do rounds or other cyclical application models lead to more consistent treatment of applicants? Any issue on that one? Any questions or comments? Yes, please, Jeff.
Yeah, I think I had a comment there. I'm not sure I understand the question or what we're trying to get at.
Okay, yeah, oh, that's right, you do. Sorry I missed that in the side there. It's a little down on the page.
That's okay.
Rounds or others, right. I think that I picked up the original writing of this one because in the blue sky there had been comments made, and I forget whether it was the pro or the con, I'd have to check, but I think it was in the pro, is that rounds give a more consistent treatment to at least the applicants within a round. And that there's a consistency there as opposed to just sort of a steady progression. Or at least that was one of the points that was made there, so that's why it was passed into a question. I'm not really sure how to make that one clearer, and that's why I didn't attempt to do so. So thanks for bringing it back up. Does anybody have a suggestion? Do you have a suggestion, Jeff, since your hand is still up?
I think we could start with the clarification you added in how you explained it, which is within that round, put something like within that round or cyclical application at the end.
Right.
I think that's one thing that'll help it be more clear.
Restricting applications to something like does restricting does restricting applications to rounds or other cyclical applications lead to more consistent treatment of applicants? Does that work? Any objection to that edit on the fly? Okay, and Jeff, I'm assuming yes, understood, and you think so. Okay. So then, seeing no other comments on one, I'll move on. Should rounds or other cyclical application models be used to facilitate reviews and process improvement? Any comments? Question? And moving on. And the ubiquitous, oh no, do rounds lead to greater predictability? Any comments? Okay, next question. Do rounds add latency to an application leading to longer times to market. I think that probably needs a comma. Any questions with that one? Comments? Do rounds create artificial... Oh, okay, before I move on. Any last questions or other questions on page 9 before moving on? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on. Do rounds create artificial demand and artificial scarcity? Comments? Questions? No? Moving on. Does timing between rounds lead to pent-up demand? Questions? Okay, I see an answer. I mean, I see a comment, Samantha. Maybe and or rather than and. And that was for the previous one. Do comments create artificial demand and or? Any objection to that change? Okay, I've put that one in. Thank you. Does timing between rounds lead to pent-up demand? No comment. And any other issues related? Any other comments on page 10? Need 7 more. Okay, I've got a comment. Redundant. Okay, explain, please. What is redundant? Pent-up demand. Does timing between rounds lead to pent-up demand? I'm not sure. I'm sorry. I don't understand the comment. Maybe somebody, maybe you can say or someone can explain. I don't understand. See, if by saying enumerate, you mean we should give each one a number? And I think that's fine, yeah. Okay, I didn't when was doing it, but I say absolutely no reason not to number them. Would definitely make it easier for conversations and for referring back when we have to take these responses and work on them. So, yeah, thank you.
Aubrey, okay, this is...
demand. Okay, I see. It's artificial demand in one, and then it's pent-up demand in the other. I understand. Yes, Jeff, I see your hand.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You got it. It's those two questions together are kind of redundant.
Are they? Is artificial demand and pent-up demand the same? Okay, in which case, I guess, so it's suggesting that one of those questions be deleted? Is that the suggestion?
Or are you asking with that's the second question, does the length of timing between rounds have an impact on pent-up demand?
Okay.
Then it's a question.
Of time between rounds leads to pent-up demand.
And then you could ask the follow-up, if so, what is, again, you can wordsmith later, but if so, what is the ideal length of time between rounds?
It needs wordsmithing and spelling, but the idea is there. If so, what is an ideal time between rounds, and what is an ideal interval between rounds? Okay. Any questions or issues with those changes? Does that work for you? Okay, Robin, unmet demand might be better than pent-up demand. Any objection changing pent up to unmet? No objection. Oh, but we've got Greg that kind of likes pent up. Well, I've made the change, but it hasn't been put in yet. So I'd like to we have a unmet versus a pent up. Are there any other opinions on unmet? I think there's a slight different meaning between the two of them, but are there other points of view on that? And I see typing. I wonder if anybody would like to speak. I don't feel strongly about it, just a suggestion. And Greg agrees they're not synonymous. Any other opinions on it? Robin, if you don't feel strongly about it and one person does feel strongly with no other opinions, do you mind if I unwind it?
Hi, this is Lincoln.
Two people typing. Don't mind. Thank you, Robin. I have unwound it. Thank you. Okay. So we now have the length of time between rounds. Lead the pent-up demand. If so, what is an ideal interval between rounds? And we have to get consistent because sometimes we have rounds with quotes and sometimes, I mean, with quotation marks, and sometimes we don't. And so probably need a global change for consistency on that. Okay. And then there was any other issues to this overarching theme. And any other issues on page 10? Oh, yes, I see a hand. Vaibhav, and please tell me how to pronounce your name, but please go ahead.
Evening. It's 4 a.m. here. Morning. In my opinion, the two questions are redundant. And if we go back to page 8 and page 9 again, just to get more streamlining towards on this document, does timing between rounds lead to pent-up demand is a question which becomes redundant, because during the process of the rounds, the artificial demand, quote-unquote, is any which ways being asked for. So in my opinion, we could definitely ask, as Jeff said, that what is the right timing for a round, which is not being mentioned anywhere. But asking for a pent-up demand and asking for artificial demand in one question after the other does not fulfill the want of explanation of creation of demand.
So if I understand correctly, what you're suggesting is that on this question, the length question, that first phrase be struck and the question be abbreviated to just what is an ideal interval between rounds.
Absolutely. Because that should take
what
care
to,
of...
Okay. What do other people think of that one? I have marked it as deleted, but of course my delete if there's objection. Oh, I see lots of hands. So I'm assuming Vaibhav that your hand is the old one. And Greg, please.
Thanks, Greg Shatton, again, for the record. I think we're losing a question if we cross out the reference to pent-up demand. Pent-up demand is not artificial demand. If anything, it's the opposite. It's genuine demand that has been unable to be satisfied. So I'm not sure that the question of the ideal interval between rounds should be tied to the question of pent-up demand. I think they're two different questions, so I wouldn't pair them. But I think the question of whether rounds leads to pent-up demand, I guess the only, it's almost maybe too obvious to ask, but it's certainly a different question than the question of artificial demand. And if we'd like, at least, you know, there's not a definite problem with asking questions to which the answers may seem obvious, because what's obvious to some may be disagreeable to others or not seen by others. So I think we should keep the question in about rounds leading to pent-up demand. And I think we should ask more generally what is the ideal interval between rounds and why, because there may be a number of issues that lead to the timing between rounds being an issue, for better or worse. Thank you.
Okay. So I have two suggestions here. One is that I put back in the question about pent-up demands, and that I separate into a separate question of what is an ideal interval between rounds. Okay, I hear a little bit of echo. I see that Christina is dropping. Thanks for being here, and thanks for the contribution. Vaibhav, is pent-up demand, is demand created due to external forces? And then Ruben has to drop sooner today as well. Okay, anybody that drops, make sure that you get on the list as soon as possible on any of the other issues that you may have on the last pages. We do have another bit of time scheduled for this meeting. These meetings are scheduled for 90, correct, Steve? Okay, so Greg is saying there's three different concepts here. Okay, thank you, Steve. So, does anybody object to putting back in the question about pent-up demands? What did I do? Okay. Take it to two questions. Okay, and adding a please explain. Okay, thank you. Other comment on that one? Okay, so I'll accept that. But delete the if so. And then this one becomes a question of its own. What is? Okay. Okay, moving on. Any other issues on that? And then, okay, there's some, I don't think there's any redundancy. Then, Jeff, what would you propose for the three questions? Oops, what would you propose? And I think that's what we've got now, right? So, any comments, or is it time to move on this? Thank you, Steve. Okay, so I'll leave that as it is for now. Any objection to going from the two questions to the three questions with the rewording? Okay. So I'll move further. We'll be aware that we may see further discussion on this particular issue on the list if anyone is still feeling uncomfortable with where we've gotten to on this, if there are further discussions needed on different meetings, overlapping meetings, and redundancy. Okay. So any other issues on page 10? I asked that once before, but we came back to it. Okay. Moving to question 4 and page 11. Again, further explanation is no longer. Whoops, I went too far. Any issues on the top paragraph, which had some words with it? I see no hands, but I see Steve doing a little bit of cleanup. Okay, moving down to the question. Was the round of 2012 sufficiently predictable given external factors and the need to be flexible? Any issues on that word? Okay, moving on. Do the changes implemented as a result of the establishment of cross-community working groups and the adoption of the principles from the policy and implementation working group suffice to maintain predictability of the application process while at the same time providing, should be in, for the needed flexibility to address changes of circumstance? Well, at the same time, provide. No, that doesn't need to be changed. Anybody have any issues on that question? Okay, I see none. That's it for page 11. Any other issues with page 11? Okay, moving on. What are the impacts on applicants and consumers from a process that lacks predictability? I see a hand. Jeff.
Yeah, thanks. I think this is one that I had reworded, and now rereading it, maybe we should have impacts on applicants, consumers, and other third parties, because there's other parties other than consumers and applicants that are affected.
Okay, I don't know if we want to presume that the consumers and applicants are third parties, but we could just say, or third parties.
Right, so you could say, what are the
applicants certainly aren't third parties.
So you could say, what are the impacts on applicants and other parties from a process that, or and other entities, or something like that?
Anybody, one recommendation has been related parties. Carlos is saying applicants and users are summarized as consumers, CCC. So, Carlos, do you have a recommended wording? So, consumers equals applicants plus users by CCP definition. I don't know that we've necessarily adopted the definition, and if we did, we would have to explain it and give it somewhere anymore. So at this point, I would prefer saying applicants and users, impacts on applicants, users, and third parties, or and other parties, and related parties. How about that? Applicants, users, and related parties. Does that work for people? Users. Does that work, sort of taking bits and pieces of various suggestions? Okay, Jeff, you have your hand up, and you say okay. Your hand is down, and the okay remains. Okay, so applicants and related parties from a process that, what are the impacts on applicants, users, and related parties? Oh, what happened? Consumers unrelated. Oh, okay, never mind. Two of us editing at the same time gets confusing, so I will leave it alone. Okay, are people fine with that one now? And then we have the any other issues? Okay, Carlos, thank you for the check. Okay, page 12. Any other comments on page 12? Nope, moving on to 13, question 5. Okay, we start with a comment here on the first line. that says the subject of early engagement was unanticipated by the design group to require any type of policy development specific to new GTLDs. A drafting group. So we should probably spell out drafting group, but this was one that was taken from the issues report, so that we should probably clarify as to what this DG is here. So that needs clarification. Is that what Carlos and Ilya did not get, or there was something different? Yes, Greg, I see a hand, and then Jeff. Greg, please.
Thanks. I actually raised my hand on the previous item.
Okay, can we hold that for a second and try and get this one finished, and then I'll come back to you?
Sure. I actually have a comment on this one as well.
Okay, please.
The question asks about community engagement, but the introduction talks about early engagement. So I think, you know, maybe that reference should be community engagement rather than early engagement. There's no definition of early engagement, and I'm not sure the community engagement, it just strikes me as other than the word engagement, it's not the same thing.
Okay. Okay, made the change there. I'll come back to you for the other one later. Are you muted, Jeff?
Oh, sorry. Yes, I was. This is Jeff Newman. Yeah, I was a little confused by this entire section, and I didn't really provide too many edits, because I now I think things are becoming a little bit more clear. I'm not sure we need to ask about community engagement during the PDP itself, but I think what we're trying to get at with this section is how can comments from the community or issues that the board has faced after the application window opens up be addressed? And how can we involve the community more? So if we got rid of, I think, because the PDP is already underway, and I don't really think we should be asking a question of how can we get greater involvement in this PDP itself. We should just be striving for that anyway. Every PDP should be doing that. And I think that's where I got confused. And when Greg said early involvement too, that confused me as well. So I would recommend deleting the first question and even the post-PDP to really just drill down on the rest of the questions, which says that, you know, how do we account for community involvement? How do we encourage community involvement in the application process and other processes during, like, I'm not saying this well at all, but basically during the evaluation process.
The evaluation.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay. If I can put on a personal comment hat, so raise my hand, but I don't see any other hands up at the moment. I actually am slightly uncomfortable with that, because I think that, yes, the PDP is already on, and we already have a working group, and yet we certainly do still have opportunities to become more open and to take advice on, you know, how open we're being and coming back with it seems pretty good, or it would be good if you did webinars every 13 weeks, something. So it just basically is taking the process from beginning to post. So that was sort of my notion. Just because we've started this PDP does not mean that we may not find ways to improve our processes along the way. And the second question is the next step. Once we finish, do we have a sufficient number of mechanisms in line for how we continue? So I'll take off my personal hat and go to being the arbiter. Greg, and then back to Jeff.
Thanks, Greg Shatton again. I think the problem kind of stems from the question itself, Q5. How can community engagement be improved in the processes? This implies there are two processes or processes, and I'm not sure what they're referring to. If you look at Q4, the term process is used to apply to the GTLD application process. But here in Q5, we seem to be talking about the PDP development process that we're currently engaged in. So I think we have a language problem. If we do want to talk about both the PDP process and the actual application process, I think we should be clear and concrete in our language in doing so. Right now, the introductory paragraph refers entirely, as far as I can tell, except for maybe the last sentence, to the PDP process and not in any way to the actual application process where there may be, the need for community engagement. So I think we need to figure out what we're talking about and then state it in clear and unambiguous terms. Thank you.
Yeah, I thought we were talking about all the processes from this one on through, but okay. Jeff.
Yeah, I think in line with that, and to address your comments, Avery, perhaps in this section we limit it to just the application evaluation and other processes that are related to the actual submission of an application and the evaluation of that. And then at the very end of all the questionnaire, you could put like a miscellaneous section or not call it that, but essentially put in at the end, this is a PDP group comprised of all these groups. Is there anything we can do to improve what we're doing as kind of like a last set of questions? So you're separating the topics and it's not quite as confusing.
Okay. Anyone object to removing those two questions? And coming up with some words at the end or just leaving it alone? Okay. And I guess there may be some wordsmithing that's needed to the initial part to make sure that the question, the explanation here, is consistent with the narrower context of the questions. Now, I have two pending questions. I think that Carlos's and Ilya's, unclear to me as well, has been borne out by this whole conversation. So I want to make sure that the conversation and what's happened has now made it clear. And two, I want to go back to, okay, Carlos says, yeah. And two, I want to go back, as I said I would and then forgot, to Greg for his earlier question as soon as I find out if no one else has any other issues with this. Steve, I see your hand.
Thanks, Arvi. This is Steve Chan from staff. And I guess I just want to take us back a bit to, I believe, where this topic came from. And it was, I think, highlighting things that were brought up later in the process, perhaps even at implementation, that were raised by perceived to be raised very late in the game that could have perhaps been identified earlier in the process and maybe not made into such a large issue at the end. And so I guess in my head, community engagement would be both during the PDP as well as the implementation and actually hopefully not after implementation, ideally, in my head. So I guess I'm in support of your thinking, Avery, in that it's both things. It's both the PDP development as well as the implementation stages to make sure that the community is involved and educated and engaged as well as it can be. Thanks.
Thanks. Does moving the questions that have been stricken to that final section and putting it with the are there any other issues, does moving those two questions to there solve the issue for you? I decided that for me, it wasn't one that was worth a lot of argument over, but I'm curious what you and others think of that idea of keeping those two questions, but moving them, since the logic that you and I are seeing on this question is not a logic that seems to work for others in the group. Jeff, I see your hand.
Yeah, thanks. And I hear what you're saying, Steve. Sorry, this is Jeff Newman. But a lot of those issues didn't arise, or I don't think could have arised during the PDP or even post-PDP implementation until people actually saw what the applications were that were applied for. Now, obviously, we have the lessons learned, and so now we think we have ideas, but a lot of new things can come in the next round that we never even considered. And so the question, you know, things that come to my mind are the plurals versus singulars. At that time, we just didn't think of it, or we didn't think it would be an issue if we did think of it. Same thing with closed generics. Now, a number of us knew that closed generics would be applied for, but we didn't necessarily think that would be an issue until it was an issue when people saw the applications. So I do think there's two different sets of questions. One is, how can we make sure we've considered all the issues before the application window opens and involve the community? But I do think there's a second set of questions, which is, okay, once the community is made aware of other issues, either because of the applications themselves, how can we encourage community involvement in resolving those issues? So I do think there's two completely different sets of questions.
Okay, yeah, I think that in the discussion, one thing that is unstated is that, I guess, in some there's an assumption that if you've had the community involvement all the way through, you have fewer of the post-application questions. And then there's another side that sort of says, no matter how much pre-work you do cross-community and within community, there's still going to be unknowns that become questions post the process.
Yeah, this is Jeff Newman. Absolutely. Look, there are very creative people out there. There's very creative applicants out there. So I think both will be the case, no matter how much pre-work we actually do.
So I've decided that I'm fine with moving those two questions to a separate section at the end. They still get, page of questions. I'm fine with that. Steve, does that logic work for you as our GPS check? Okay, thank you. So any other, and we have about 11 minutes left in this meeting. Any other, so we've moved those two questions and there's very little left on page 13 in terms of questions. Any other issues on 13 before I move to 14? No? Okay. So then on 14, we start with what will be the first question in this section. Is there a time at which the application procedure in one application window should be frozen until a new application window is opened? Any issues? I see none. Next one. If the board is faced with questions that cannot be addressed by the policy recommendations they were sent, must the board bring the issue back to the GNSO and PDP process? Any questions or issues? And yes, Jeff.
Sorry, I actually was too slow. It's actually on the question beforehand. Since we ask that a similar type of question in the last section, when we talk about rounds, I think, can we ask the question or just add a couple words at the end of the one that says, is there a time at which the application procedure in one application window should be frozen until after a new application window is opened for maybe for policy development or for consideration of policy-based issues? Because that would be a different question than what we asked in the previous one, which is on rounds.
Open for policy review.
Right.
That work?
Yep.
Okay. I put that in. Any comments? Okay, Greg. Yes, please.
Greg Shatton again. I'm sorry, but I'm finding this question is now unintelligible. I'm not sure what policy review is in this context. And are we talking about the policy development process? Is that we're engaged in? I'm not. And what is it? It really means something very different for the policy for an application window to be opened. You know, for actual application, as opposed to policy review. So I guess I'm not sure whether we want to ask only about the time when a policy review may begin. I mean, if you think about it, if we're engaged now in policy review for subsequent rounds, would that even occur to us that pending applications should somehow be frozen? That doesn't seem to make sense to me. I'm not sure.
I don't think it wasn't an application were frozen. It was that the application procedures be frozen.
Well, what does it mean for the application
procedures? We're not freezing applications. Well, all the way through this application process, the procedures were being tweaked and changed. So the question, I believe, is sort of saying, is there a point at which you start accepting applications that the procedures are frozen the next time we review the procedures?
Yeah, I guess
I think that's what this question is trying to say.
I guess it's not speaking to me. This is the only language I speak. I'm really wondering what a second language speaker of English would do with this question. It just needs help, and I'm sorry, I'm not editing on the fly very well at this point in the evening.
Okay.
But I think
so
we need to somehow.
I guess we'll just mark this one with.
Just maybe a WTF.
Okay, I put a comment in that, you know, it needs wording help. And we'll come back to that one. And while you're here, I keep forgetting to come back to you for the earlier question you had. And so I better do it now before moving on. If you could tell me what page your previous issue was on.
Page 11.
Page 11. And the issue is?
Again, maybe it has something to do with the overall structure of this document. We start out with one question four. How can changes be introduced into the new GTLD application process without sacrificing a predictable process, which seems to me to be asking a fairly specific question about whether changes between rounds somehow make the process less predictable. Then the actual questions that are being asked, you know, are quite different and broader. And the introductory language, again, goes not to the question of a predictable process for applying, but more to the issue of the process of undergoing a PDP review. So, again, the logic of this whole thing is just not making sense to me. Maybe I'm just not processing this document correctly as to what it is, you know, we're trying, what the relationship is between the big questions and the headings and the subsequent questions and the introductory language before the questions. You know, thinking about trying to put this in front of the constituency that I help facilitate. I just feel like we're going to have a big problem. This one is just one example of that. Trying to figure out what it is we're kind of trying to keep over here.
Okay, I added a note about rewording to your I'm totally confused. I really have no idea what your issue is, but hopefully others do. I see another hand up. Please.
Yeah. Hi. This is Vaibhav Agarwal for the record. I think the way this document is worded...
You're very, very soft. I have trouble hearing you.
Can you hear me now?
Okay. Oh, that's a little better. Thank you. Yes, it's better.
Okay. Now, I think, in my opinion, the way this document is worded and the flow of the entire document is, I think, the entire thought is broken into two parts. A, the document is throwing questions from the various SOs, ACs, or SGs to the PDP working group, saying that please review us, and there's a communication here. And B, the document is also trying to talk to people which are consumers or the applicants, which and going to them directly and interviewing them. So I think that is where the English language per se is being a little confused here.
Okay. If I can respond, I think the questions are, and perhaps the struggle is, and if this is not absolutely clear, the questions are not to this group. The wording of the questions, certainly I'm asking questions about that, but the questions are to the stakeholder groups, to the constituencies, and to the various SOs and ACs other than GNSO.
Correct.
These questions are all directed outward to them. They're not directed to applicants.
Right.
They're not directed to users, except insofar as applicants are members of constituencies and users are member of constituencies. So there's really only one audience for these questions. Now, in asking the questions, there's certainly questions about implications to various types of humans. So I don't see where the duality of questioning comes from. So am I hearing a recommendation that we totally rewrite the document in a different style?
This is Vaibhav Agarwal. I think, in my opinion, I think that could be a very good idea, just to reword the flow of the document and arrange the sequence of the questions again, which will, and once we go through this, why? Because, Greg pointed out the predictable process on page 11, the question that he was just asking, and on page 13 we were struggling with the policy review, no, page 14, that new application window is open for policy review. So community engagement, so perhaps a question from this section could just be picked up and sent to the other section, and a question be brought from the other section to this section. So perhaps a little restructuring and on the entire document may be recommended. This is my opinion. It's just presented to the group.
Okay, I guess all I can say is I'm fairly confused, but if you have specific concrete recommendations of things you would slice and dice and switch around, I guess I'd have to say at this point, please make them to the list, since we have used up all the time of the meeting. I believe we've used up our 90 minutes, but I have no concept as to how I would do what you're asking. So if you have specific things, please, make the suggestions on the list. Would have been good to have done it before we got to this point while it's on the document, but Steve would be able to take your comments and see if he could produce something, and then we'd have to talk about it among the group to see if that cut and paste switching questions around would work. The questions were pretty much formed out of all the various discussions we had on the specific questions But if you have suggestions on exactly what changes you would want to make, please make them, and then the group can comment on them. I find it hard to comment on them in the abstract. Others have comment. But as I say, we've used up our time, and unfortunately, we did not get... Because also, you mentioned questions on 14, and we basically got rid of the questions, except for, I guess, the one that we still have some wording problems with. And... And then we had basically one more question left. So, I guess what we're going to have to do is continue the discussion on the list since we've used up our time for the meeting. And I'm still turning over the editing pen to Steve. I suggest that anybody that has any issues with any of those in the rest of the document, please send an email to the list on their issues, and then Steve and the rest of us can start to deal with them, and then come back to this these issues at the next meeting, and we'll start at question 5, and with any cut and paste re-switching that has been done between now and then, we'll start with there, and then we'll go through and make sure that there's no other open issues in the rest of the document. If that's okay with people as a way to break the meeting now, continue making progress, and finishing up at our next meeting. Okay, sure. And I apologize, Jeff, I'm handing a overdue meeting back to you.
Okay, thanks, Aubrey, and The any other business is quick. We can just go through that really quick, which is that we've had the work plan out there that we discussed the last two meetings. Obviously, the work plan can always be revised, but we're going to take that work plan as adopted by the working group with the caveat that we can always revise it. So with that said, the next meeting is scheduled for the normal day, which is Monday, on June, I think it's 6th. And at 1600 UTC, so we'll see everyone then. Thank you very much. We can end the call.
Okay, goodbye.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone. Thank you. Again, today's meeting has been adjourned. Operator, please stop the recording. Disconnect all remaining lines. Everyone, enjoy the remainder of your day.